بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه، فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا. صدق الله العظيم. Before every single one of us came in this world, Allah Tabarak Tala had taken an ahad. It was known as Alime Alast, the world where every soul was introduced to Almighty Allah. And after seeing the beauty of Almighty Allah, as an exam, a question was posed to every single, Alastu bi Rabbikum, which in our language we will translate as, that will you ever look at someone besides me? Will you ever fall into the obedience of someone besides me? Into the worship of someone besides me? Am I not your Rabb? It was such a question that did not ask for any thought. There was no need for any person to say, give me a few days to ponder. Seeing the brilliance of Almighty Allah, the beauty of Allah, there was no Jannah that was shown. It was not that if you obey me, I will give you paradise. I will give you the best of castles. I will give you the best of palaces. No Jannah was shown. Man and woman had only seen the beauty of Almighty Allah. And thereafter an answer was given, Bala. Bala means without doubt. How can you ask this question? Allah Tabarak Tala said, Shahidna. We have taken this gawahi, we have taken this pact from you today. Tomorrow you must not say that we did not know or we forgot. This ahad that was taken from every one of us, this entire world that we live in, is an exam to see who will fulfill this ahad and who will behave as though it never took place. In the world of history that we understand, where the people who showed the greatest level of fulfilling a promise and who became a mithal, an example for the world, was what is known as the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And amongst them especially what was known as the Ansar, the people of Medina Munawwara. When we hear their names, the men amongst them, the women amongst them, we also say radiallahu an, we say radiallahu anha. We also desire to go to the land of Medina Munawwara. All of us know there was an Abu Jahl, there was an Abu Lahab. They were the leaders of Makkah Mukarrama. They were in charge of the Kaaba. But there was one thing that they were missing, which the people of Medina Munawwara took. It was called, they were not ready to fulfill a promise they had made. And the people of Medina Munawwara, they were ready to put taqeed and emphasis on this promise. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for over 13 years calling and begging the people of Makkah Mukarramah to accept him, to protect him, saying to them that you take my one word, la ilaha illallah, I promise Allah will make you leaders over the world. So they had the wealth, which is that very wealth which today many people look at. They had the entertainment, they had the evil, they had a free life, they had do as you wish. But not one of us today will ever say that if I had to be in that era, I wish I could have been like Abu Lahab, I wish I could have been like Abu Jahl, I wish I could have been the wife of Abu Lahab. She was known as a very beautiful woman, a very respectful woman, respectable woman. Because of her high level, her izzat, her honor, when a woman becomes too high-headed,
Because of the honor she enjoyed amongst the other women, she was ready to slander, she was ready to mock, she was ready to speak in a very bad manner against the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It never helped her. Allah tabarakallah says, Tabbat yada abi lahab wa tab. The hand of Abu Lahab is destroyed. And at the end of the surah, وَمْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبُ. And what about her wife, his wife? The one who would carry tales, the one who would go door to door taking stories. Allah tabarakallah says, their wealth, their beauty, their mansions, their palaces, nothing helped them. So in the heart of all of us, the honor for the people who did not fulfill the promise that they had made with Almighty Allah once, we don't want to be like them. Then there was a group who we regard as the people of Medina Munawwara, the Ansar. Besides the promise they made to Almighty Allah in the world of Alast, many of us would have heard about in Islamic history, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam year after year would go to the plains of Hajj, seeking a tent, asking the people, from which land do you come? I come from Iraq. How is the land in Iraq? How is the armies? How is the protection? They would say, we are a nation that nobody dares to attack us. Our numbers are not little. Then he would say to them, I am the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Will you be ready to take me to your land? Give me protection. And I promise Allah will make you the rulers of this world and the next. Year after year, meeting country after country, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued until Allah tabarak ta'ala brought the time when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met the first jamaat of Medina Munawwara. There were about 12 men. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he sat with them, he spoke to them, and 12 people happily said that we are ready to make a pledge to you. It's this pledge that I want you to think about. Because it's this very pledge that me and you have made with Almighty Allah. It was not a new pledge. It was just a taqid of the pledge that had already been made. It was just a reminder of the pledge. The people of Makkah Mukarramah, they could not remember the pledge with Almighty Allah, or they did not want to remember. The worry they had for their houses, the worry they had for their houses, for their high statuses, for their things of entertainment and enjoyment, either in it they forgot the pledge they made to Allah, and if they reminded, they did not want to remember. The people of Medina Munawwara, when they accepted Islam, they just renewed this pledge. Me and you can never ever say we don't know of the pledge. Islam coming into our hearts, coming into our houses, Islam reminded us of the pledge. The only thing now is that we live up to the pledge like how they lived up. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the pledge, it was called a bi'at. The bi'at was taken on this. Number one, I will never ever attribute anyone as a partner to Allah. You and me might think that I've also made that pledge. But remember, how strong are we on this pledge? How is it that boys and girls are going to schools and universities? The environment in that place definitely is not the best. But if this pledge was remembered, and if someone comes to you and says, I have been sent to take away your most valuable asset, will a person sometimes not fight for it? Will he not say, I'm ready to give my life, but I will not let it go? How is it then that a boy or a girl who for years has grown up in the lap of Iman, in a few days in the company of a bad environment, is ready to give away their Iman? They are questioning everything about Iman. Perhaps it is that us as parents, ourselves, we're not reminding ourselves, neither our children when they are with us, that we have been sent in this world to fulfill a pledge. Number one, we will never make partners with Allah. Number two, I will never take the right of any of the servants of Allah. Be it my sister, my brother, be it my mother or father, be it my child. A person might think about, will I ever take the right of my child? I love my child so much. But how many a time we saw a husband passes away, the children are still young, the mother is the one, it's put in her hands. You must look after your children. Loving her children, she takes the entire estate into her hands. She feeds them, she clothes them, but she is not ready to give them what is theirs. She regards it as hers. They get married, they ask, where's our share from our father? She becomes angry. She says, did I not give you enough already? It was a pledge they had made, we will never take the right of any of the servants of Allah. They made the pledge, we will never steal. They made the pledge, we will never place an accusation upon anyone. How many a time a message comes on a phone, because it is someone we do not like. How fast we are to send it to another. How fast we are to say to someone, you heard what happened. They made a pledge that we will not slander anyone. And then they made the pledge, we will never get involved in filthy, dirty acts. Whether we call it zina, or that which leads to zina. Relations out of marriage. It is not in their time, it was something easy. The error was the error of open prostitution. They had no deen in them for so many years. They had no character. They were the people of the desert. They would eat what they wanted. They would sleep with who they wanted. A pledge was taken that from today, your desires will all submit to the decision of Almighty Allah. It was not easy. It is not easy for a person who's in love with somebody else to say, no, I'll rather die, but I will not message. I will not expose the secrets of my heart. The Ansar of Medina Munawwara taught the world, it is possible. All you have to do is remind yourself that you have been sent in this world to fulfill a pledge you have made with Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so happy. He said to the 12, now go, and I will meet you next year, and let's see, have you lived up to your pledge? The following year, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found a jamaat of about 72. The decision was now made that I will come to Medina Munawwara. This was the beginning of their exam. It was going to be an exam where they would be tested in their lives, in their wealth, in their izzat, in their anger. The exams that they were going to go through is the exams that me and you also go through. And how every exam they went out of their way to fulfill it, in that they left a message to me and you, that you will also be tested in this few years of yours. It is no honor to live in enjoyment and having broken the pledge. Rather, it's an honor if you have to die also, but you lived up to the pledge. It was in the Battle of Badr, where it was the first time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to take the test of those people who said, our lives will be in front of you. We will be ready to die, but we will not allow you to be harmed. They left a message to the world, will you be ready to die, but don't harm the sunnah. Don't break the command of Allah. Don't give in to your desires. Blood in front of Allah is very valuable. Fulfilling desires is hated in the sight of Almighty Allah. Sa'd bin Rabi radiallahu anhu was that sahabi. When the muhajirin came to Makkah Mukarramah, he was the one who said, when he was told, you will look after a certain sahabi, he is like your brother. He said, oh my brother, come home. He said, I have two farms, one is for you. He said, I have two homes, one is for you. He said, my wealth I have divided it in half, I want you to take the better of the two. He said, from the woman that I have married, at the moment you have no wife, I will be ready to divorce that one that you are happy with, and I will then get her married to you. This was Sa'd bin Rabi. It was in the battle of Badr. After the battle, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked around, and he saw that there were many bodies, many were of the Quraysh, the non-believers, many were of the Ansar, they were those of the Muhajirin. Sa'd bin Rabi was from the Ansar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go and look amongst the bodies. If you can find Sa'd bin Rabi, my brother, give him my salams if he is alive. And say to him, the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is thinking of you. How are you? Many mujahideen, many of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu rushed into the battlefield, searching and looking for the Sahabi. The one who found him said, when I was able to locate his body, I scream out that, O Sa'd, if you are alive, then accept the call of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, then I heard a very soft call. I came and I found that he was covered in blood. He made indication that I must come close to him. Because of weakness, I could not even hear what he was trying to say. I said to him that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually sent me to ask you, how are you? Remember, this is one who is dying for Islam. He is seeing the end of his life. In the last minutes of his life, he gives a message to the world that there is no value in your life if you're living for this world. There is no value in your life if you're living for your desires. You have made an ahad, a promise with Allah and the Rasul of Allah. That is the meaning of your Islam. From their side, they made the promise that Jannah has been prepared if we can fulfill that promise. From our side, it is that I have to fulfill this ahad. Sa'd radiallahu anhu said, give Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam my salams. And say to him that your brother Sa'd is now leaving this world. Because of wounds, my body has become like a sieve. That from everywhere blood is just dripping. He says, I make a dua now and I wish you'd make ameen. That if I faltered in protecting the Rasul of Allah in any way, that Allah must not take me to task. What a dua it was. He taught the world, do you make this dua? That Allah, if we have been weak in fulfilling your command, please don't take us to task. Even if we die trying. He then said to me, after I promised him I will give your message to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, together with that message, I want you to give my nation a message. He gave a message to me and you, mother, father, brother, sister, that while you are alive also, be desirous and create the desire in others to live up to the pledge that they made to Allah. And even when the time of our death comes, at that time, instead of crying and say, oh my son, oh my daughter, who will look after you? Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, Am kuntum shuhada idh hadara Ya'qub al-maut. Were you there when the father of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam saw that death is at his door? He said, oh my beloved sons, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. What are you going to worship after I go? Hazrat Sa'd bin Rabi radiallahu anhu taught the people of this ummah that when you are going to go, forget about the house you are leaving, forget about the garden you are leaving. If you are going to go also, he said, I want you to give my nation this message that Sa'd bin Rabi says, in the valley of Aqaba, the pledge we made to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't ever forget that pledge. Even if your lives have to be given to live up to that pledge, let your lives be given, but do not allow for even a second for the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be harmed in any way. He says, if you cannot live up to your promise, you will have no excuse in front of Almighty Allah. This was his last words, and then he left. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed, he became so happy, so happy. He said regarding him, that what a man Saad was, while he was alive, he was only desirous of good for the Rasul of Allah. Even at the time of death, that was his only worry and concern. He left a message to me and you. This world, no matter how enjoyable it may look, it is the same world that went in the share of Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl. It met Fir'aun and it met Haman. It met the princes and the queens of the time. But only those people are worthy of being remembered who worked to fulfill the pledge they had made to Allah and the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even if their lives had to go, they will remain alive till the ending. They fulfill their pledge to Allah in this world. Allah has promised He will fulfill His pledge with them now till the ending. Whether it was with life, whether it was with wealth, whether it was with desire, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they made a pledge and they were not going to break this pledge. In our issues, Allah tabarak ta'ala has blessed us with a lot of wealth. No matter who we are, we might always say, but somebody else got more. But travel in the world and you will find there are many, many, many in the world that don't have anything. Forget the word more. Their water is what's in the lake. Whatever they can carry on their head is theirs. They have no tap that gives them fresh flowing water coming right to their bedroom. They have no geyser to give them hot water. If someone has to put up a water well, then they will make shukr and say, instead of 5 kilometers, now I only have to go 1 kilometer for the water. Their food is what they will find on the plants around them. If on the day of Eid someone has to give them 1 liter of oil, that will be their Eid and that oil will remain for them for a good couple of months. They will just say, our food has become so tasty because we got oil to make it now. Allah tabarak ta'ala has given us like how He gave the Ansar of Medina Munawwara. Before the Muhajirin came to Medina Munawwara, they were wealthy. They were farmers. When the Muhajirin came, they opened up their hearts. They divided their wealth. They gave a place for the Muhajir who was made their brother in their businesses. They would farm and they would share the profits. Many of us, as long as big wealth doesn't come in front of our eyes, we remain good. But how many a time it was seen when the issue of inheritance opened up, then that family who for so many years had lived with the comforts of the world, who never needed that extra 100, 200, 300, 400,000, they were already living in comfort. But the day that door opened, they forgot that pledge they had made to Almighty Allah, that I am not coming in this world to fight for more. I am coming in this world to give more. What is mine, if it comes to me and there is no fight for it, I will take it happily. And if it has to come to me and there's an argument, then I will rather say that I am not in need of that wealth which comes with fights and arguments and hatreds. How many families have we not seen that haram wealth entered in their lives? Stolen wealth entered in their life. Inheritance was not distributed correctly. That extra 300, 400, 500,000 could not really do anything. The most it allowed them is to change their house. The most it allowed is to change the curtains. If they had 3 or 4 workers, perhaps it got for them another 3 or 4 workers. That was all that it could bring. They still had to eat the same food. They still had the same stomach. They still had the same digestive problems. But when that wealth came, how many we have seen that shortly thereafter sicknesses also came. Fights also came. Arguments came. hatred came, disobedience came, this word barakah, when it is lifted from a family, then all good is lifted. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umar radiallahu anhu, what comes to you and you are not desirous of it, you are not standing and looking, waiting for it, then take it because it is full of blessings. He says, that which comes to you and you are longing and yearning and you just wanted it, he says, then remember there's no blessings in that. That well that comes with a fight. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after a few years in Medina Munawwara, a pact had been made with the Jews, but they did not live up to it. Whenever they got the chance, they broke their pact. Finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the announcement that the Jews, either they will be killed because of their treachery, but finally he forgave them and he said that you will leave Medina Munawwara. Whatever you can take with you, you will take, except weapons. The Jews were given a few days. They left practically nothing, but what they left also was lots. Whatever they could carry, to such an extent they even took the doors of their houses. Some of them pulled out the roofs and put it on the animals. Their jewelry, their wealth, whatever they could take, they took. But the gardens of the Jews of Medina Munawwara, which were regarded as the most lush, the most valuable, that was now left. It was the first time, after so many years, for 4 years the Ansar had taken the Muhajirin's burden upon their necks. They had sacrificed half of their wealth. They would work in their gardens and at the end of the year distribute to the Sahabi Muhajir as though it was his. It was the first time that wealth had now come. It was now the time where each Ansari would say that I am sure now it is payback time. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can't give us whatever we spent, at least he can give us something. Huge amounts of lands had come, much more bigger than what any Ansari had ever dreamed about. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered the Ansar and he says, I call you today to make a mashwara. He says, I know you have seen what the Banu Nazir, the Jews, have left behind. I want to ask you, how do you think I should distribute that? The answer was obvious. That will it not be, we also fought in this battle. And the law is that every mujahid is worthy of his share. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what I thought is that the muhajirin for 4 years have been a burden upon you people. And I do not want this to continue. So if you will give me permission, in the wealth of the Banu Nazir, I will give only the muhajirin. And I will give them now so much that they can stand on their own feet. And after today, they will not have to be a burden upon you. Even if the Sahaba Ansar at that day had to say, oh Allah's Nabi, it's difficult on our heart. How we are waiting for this wealth. Even if they just had to say that we allow it, it would have been itself Jannah. But their answer was completely different, out of this world. They said, oh Allah's Nabi, what are you talking about? That after today the Muhajirin will no longer remain in our houses and he will not be a partner in our business. Just because of the wealth of Banu Nazir, they said no. Rather, Hazrat Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu anh, the leader of the Ansar, spoke. He said, rather these lands, these gardens, these houses which the Banu Nazir has left, you will distribute all of it amongst the Muhajirin. As for them, thereafter leaving our houses, leaving our businesses, standing on their own feet, he said, that we will not accept. We made them partners in our business, they will remain partners. We brought them into our houses, they will stay in our houses. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face began shining. That level of theirs, what we call ithar, that they were ready to sacrifice, that was 4 years. After that 4 years, they said, we will continue looking. And it was many years after again, when more wealth came. And finally, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Ansar of Medina Munawwara that now the Muhajireen have been given so much that now I do not need you to look after them anymore. Will you please now take back what you have given? Even on that day after so many years, it is mentioned that the Ansar of Medina Munawwara, when they took back what they had been sharing with the Muhajireen for so many years, not one of them gave a sigh of relief. Not one of them said, finally this burden is over. It was on that day as if a certain piece of their heart was taken out. Every one of them was sad that the chance to look after the guests of Almighty Allah has now gone. They left a message to me and you that we are not asked to share our wealth. We are not asked to share our houses. We are not asked to share what is ours. But certain times come when inheritance is going to be distributed. You might have to lose 40,000, 50,000. You might have to lose 80 or 90,000. But what you will be getting is much more than that. If ever the time comes, then you think of the Ansar. You think about how they showed the world that a day is going to come where you are going to be laid in your grave. That day the grave is not going to ask you, what is your value? How much are you worth? What did you leave in the bank? The grave, however, might see whether you could have you lived up to the pledge you had made to Almighty Allah. That I will not take the rights of anyone. More than that, I will go out of my way to fulfill the rights of others. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had made a pledge with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that their lives are for Allah, their wealth is for Allah, their efforts are for Allah. You might think that the effort is for an alim, the effort is for a pious person. I am a very simple person. I am a very weak person. What can I do for Islam? The Ansar of Medina Munawwara gave this lesson also. That there is no one in the world. You made a pledge to Allah that you will work for this religion. You will work for this Islam. Whatever little you can do is Lord. But if you ever sit back with this thought that I have been sent in this world only to live for the world, then there's no difference between me and you and Abu Jahl and the wife of Abu Lahab. There is no difference between the Fir'auns and the Hamans of the past and their princesses and their queens. We are not of their progeny. We are the progenies of Fatimas and Aishas. We have got a different purpose in life. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going for the battle against the Romans. It was known as the Battle of Tabuk. It was known as Sa'atul Usra, a difficult hour. It was a time when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever got something to give to the army, he should bring something. There will be times when me and you also hear, there's been some calamity in some part of the world, whether in the country itself, whether out of the country. There are certain people who are taking aid. And our mind immediately goes that the one who got millions, he must give 50,000, 60,000 is what they need. The one who got billions, he must give. And everyone thinks, as for me, I only got a few pieces of jewelry. I only got a few bangles. I only got a few rings. I only got a few pairs of clothes. But all that few, if you put it together, you are also the millionaire of the time. When the announcement was made, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, whatever their eyes fell on, they were ready to bring it. The women were not going to remain behind. They were ready to pull out their jewelry. They were ready to pull out their jewelry to be spent in the path of Almighty Allah. We are living in a time of ease where the demand to give everything is not there. But it should never be that because there's no demand to give everything, that we sit back and we give nothing. We have come in this world to build our year after. We have come in this world to spend for our year after. We have come in this world to sacrifice for the year after. Millions have come in this world who forgot the pledge they made with Almighty Allah. They are gone and they are forgotten. And there were those very few who came in this world and lived up to the pledge. May Allah make all of us from amongst those people. Amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum on that day, who could have sat back and said, that the announcement to give something was for the rich Sahaba. I have nothing. Among those was a Sahabi who is known as Abu Aqil. Later on he would be known as Sahib Sa', the one who brought one Sa'. A Sa' is a measurement. When we give Sadaqatul Fitr, we give half a Sa'. Half a Sa' means like today, 22 rand. That is half a Sa'. So one Sa' of dates would have practically the same value. He is known as Sahib Sa'. For what reason? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced, whoever got something, give. Abu Aqil wanted to go out. There was nothing in his house, and there was nothing for him to give. Sitting in this condition, that why will it be that others get the honor, that what they have been given will be used in the path of Allah, and just because there is nothing by me, I must be left out. For him it was a disgrace to be left out. It is already night time. The army is leaving in the morning. Abu Aqil goes to a Jew, and he asks the Jew when it is late, do you have any work? The Jew is amazed, what time you are coming to ask? He said, I need work right now. Whatever work you got, tomorrow in the morning the army of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is leaving. I am going with them. A Jew is a Jew. His heart was hard. He looked at his farm. He said, here's a well. You can irrigate this entire farm. Whole night you must take water from the well and throw, water from the well and throw, water from the well and throw. He says, if in the morning I feel that you have irrigated my farm correctly, I will give you 2 sa'. As I mentioned, 1 sa' is about 23, 25 rand. 2 sa' will come to about 50 rand. An entire night's effort for 2 sa's of dates. An entire night's effort. In the morning he grabs those dates and he runs into the company. First he goes to his wife and he says, oh my beloved wife, the qafla, the caravan of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is leaving. I need to go with them. He said, I am leaving this 1 sa' of dates for you. If I go and I am delayed in returning, then until my return, I want you to live on this 1 sa' of dates. Meaning dates, which we might say is about 3 kilos. So 3 kilos of dates were left for his wife. And the other 3 kilos, he takes it. He gives it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already been informed by Jibreel alayhi salam of what is coming. The Sahabi said, oh Allah's Nabi, I got a very small thing to give you. Will you please accept it? For Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was nothing small. Jibreel alayhi salam had already explained the value of this. This was what is called a jazba to do for the deen of Islam. But whatever Allah has given, may Allah give me this jazba, give you this jazba. We have not come in this world to live to our whim, our fancy, to message who we want, to see what we want. We got a little blood, make it valuable. You got a few tears, make it valuable. Do not cry when you lose the things of this world. Rather cry in the love, in the fear of Allah. Give value to your tears. Give value to your blood. Life is very short. Every young person becomes old. Every old person has to enter into the grave. Death sometimes comes upon the young. Death sometimes comes upon the one who just saw 1 or 2 days of what is called maturity. It can come tomorrow. It can come today. There is no guarantee of life. So don't live for something which cannot guarantee you it will pay you back. If you want to love for something, love for the Zat which is ever living. Abu Aqil handed over the 1 sa'. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Bilal radiallahu anhu. He said, take the sa', this 1, 3 kilos of dates, and I want you to spread it over whatever wealth we have gathered already. It was a scene for Sahaba radiallahu anhu to see Bilal radiallahu anhu throwing dates over the weapons, over wealth. Someone would ask, what is this? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, where do you find the dates of Abu Aqil? Where are you finding it? Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, we are finding it right on top. The word was right on the top, we are finding it. Meaning most high. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, similarly, the reward that he has been given compared to the reward of what you have been given is how his dates are above everything else. Meaning his reward is also the most high. Certain hypocrites mocked at this act. And they said, what will the big army do with just a few dates? Allah Tabarakala came. Allah responded on behalf of the Sahabi. الَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُطَّوِّعِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ إِلَّا جُهْدَهُمْ. He says, those who wish to mock at those who exert themselves to give some charity, who do not find anything in their houses except what their efforts will bring. Now you want to mock at them. سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. He says, O Sahabi, you do not have to answer. If they have mocked against you, then Allah is indeed mocking against them. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. For them will be a terrible punishment. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Ansar of Medina Munawwara, left a message for me and you, that this world is too short. It is not sufficient to fight for wealth. It is not sufficient to hold back. And whenever arguments, whenever difficulties, whenever problems have to arise, it will arise between us and our brothers, us and our sisters. It will arise sometimes between a mother and her daughter, sometimes between a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law. And ahad, a pledge has been made with Almighty Allah, that we have not come in this world to force our rights on everyone. Rather, we have come in this world to forego rights. That if someone has done us down, we will say, Allah, I am ready to forgive today so that you forgive me tomorrow. The Ansar of Medina Munawwara, they showed so many lessons. Even in this, they were not going to be held back. There was a muhajir, Hazrat Safwan bin Mu'attal radiallahu anhu. They were the people of Makkah Mukarramah. They were the people who came to Medina. They were the people who lived in the houses of the people of Medina. Safwan bin Mu'attal radiallahu anhu, he heard a poem of Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, what he intended by his poem was in his mind, but for some reason Safwan bin Mu'attal radiallahu anhu, hearing the poem without even asking what are you intending by it, he understood it to be a mock regarding him. So without even inquiring, he was Muslim, he was from the Muhajir. Hassan radiallahu anhu was from the Ansar. They were not the same family. They were not the same family, but they left a message that because of this knot of Islam, you must be able to forgive and forget, like how he was going to forgive. Safwan bin Mu'attal radiallahu anhu comes to Hassan bin Thabit when he is sitting with his friends, without even asking him, what did you mean by that poem? Who were you referring to? Without even asking, he swings his sword. Hassan bin Thabit lifts up his hand to protect himself. The sword hits against the hand. The hand is cut. Hassan radiallahu anhu's hand would remain cut till the ending. He lost a hand because of a misunderstanding. It was not 100 rand or 1,000 rand. It was not that the nose was cut, meaning someone's izzat was taken because of a misunderstanding. He lost a hand till the end of his life, because of something he never intended. The Ansar grabs Safwan bin Mu'attal radiallahu anhu, shocked at what he has just done. They take him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Safwan bin Mu'attal explains that how could he say what he said. Hassan radiallahu anhu looks shocked and he says, but I never intended that. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Safwan bin Mu'attal, what you did was not right. And it was definitely, there could have been a question before that, there could have been an inquiry. He could have complained directly to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did what was not right. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Ansar, that since Hassan bin Thabit is your brother, indeed you have the right for retribution. So take Hassan bin Thabit home, and you can put Safwan bin Mu'attal in chains. And thereafter, wait to see what happens with Hassan. If his wound now stops where it is and it doesn't lead to death, then the hand of Safwan bin Mu'attal will be cut. And if it goes further and something else happens, then that retribution you will also be given the right. Safwan bin Mu'attal is a person from the Muhajirin. He has attacked a man from the Ansar. It will definitely bring anger to the people of Ansar. Like how a lot of times a person will say, but you know what she said to my daughter? I can now never, ever, ever forgive her. On the day of Qiyamah I will show her. Sahaba radiallahu anhum were not like that. They understood this world is too trivial to let old fights, even if a hand had to be given, they were ready to let go of the hand also. But they understood Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mansha, desire was that a believing man, a believing woman do not live with a heart full of enmity and hatred. We do not carry baggage in this world. Before we sleep every night, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to a sahabi, if it is possible that when you go to bed at night, you go with a clean heart, وَلَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِكَ غِشٌ لِأَحَدٍ, in your heart there is no enmity for anyone. He said, فَفْعَلْ, then, O my sahabi, do this. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِن سُنَّتِي, this is indeed from my sunnah. And whoever loves my sunnah will be definitely with me in paradise. Sahaba radiallahu anhu searched for this. They were ready to let go of rights. Safwan bin Mu'attal is arrested. He is being kept in chains. The leader of the Ansar, Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu, he gets the news that Safwan bin Mu'attal is in chains because he has attacked an Ansari. Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu anhu calls him, Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu. He calls him and he says that how could you arrest a muhajir? Do you not know he is from the guests that Allah has sent to us? The Ansar say, but Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself gave us permission. He told us that we got the right of qisas. Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu said, he definitely would have given you the permission. But that is the kindness of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is his justice. He says, as for me and you, we don't look at justice. We have to look at kindness. These are the guests of the Rasul of Allah. These are those people who we made a pledge. We will fulfill their every right. He says, bring Safwan bin Mu'attal immediately over to me. Safwan bin Mu'attal is brought by Sa'd bin Ubadah. He does not shout him. He does not say, how could you come into our land and do what you did? The Ansar taught me and you a lesson, that this world is too trivial to fight about old matters. Honor the people around you and Allah will honor you. The leader of the Ansar asked pardon from Safwan bin Mu'attal, that if they harmed you when they were chaining you, please will you forgive us all? He takes him to his house. He allows him to have a ghusl to wash. And then he clothes him in very beautiful clothing. Hazrat Safwan bin Mu'attal, wearing this lovely clothing, returns to the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees him walking. One is, you are freed. And where did you get this lovely clothing from? He says, the leader of the Ansar, Sa'd bin Ubadah, has given me these clothes. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes so happy. And he says, may Allah clothe him with the clothes of Jannah. He says, what a wonderful heart this man got. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Hassan bin Sabit radiallahu anhum. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, oh Hassan, can you swallow your anger and forgive your brother? Hassan radiallahu anhu says, whatever rights I have over him, I place all of those rights in your hand, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you wish to pardon him, you may pardon. If you wish to punish, you may punish. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, using the right that you have now given me, I pardon your brother. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, through their efforts, through the hand that was lost because of a misunderstanding, they left examples for us in history that the books of history will never be able to repeat except with people of this ummah. It will be people of this ummah who will be able to do what that group did. May Allah Tabarak Tala make me and you from amongst them. Allah Tabarak Tala's words in Quran, من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهد الله عليه. From the believers are those who have been truthful to the pledge they have made to Almighty Allah. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَى. They are those that lived up to their pledge and they died after fulfilling it. They gave their lives and they were successful. They are our grandfathers and fathers, our grandmothers and mothers. They are our great and illustrious pious who passed before us, the men and the women. They lived up to the pledge. They changed the books of history. They left examples that leaves the people shocked of the world. Now has come for our time. Where Allah Tabarak Tala says, وَمِنُهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرْ. And from the believers, they are those who are still waiting for the chance to prove that they will also fulfill this pledge. Me and you are those that who are waiting. We are alive and we don't know how many more days we are going to remain alive. Before death comes, let it come in a condition that we have also fulfilled this pledge. May Allah Tabarak Tala make it easy for every one of us. We have not been created for this world. We have been created to prepare another world. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.